Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, we read that first, then we jump to verse 16 to verse 18. I'm going to read all of them from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the day of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Now verse 16 says, in every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Verse 17 says, put on salvation as your helmet and take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. All right, this is the final message in the series, Stand. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And this morning, as we share in your word, we receive insight, we receive understanding. And Father, we pray that much more than information, healing comes by your word this morning. Father, much more than information, Father, transformation comes by your word this morning. Okay, Father, instruction comes by your word this morning. Each one of us who partakes of this message, now or later, will receive of you clarity, understanding, specific instructions as to shift our lives to another level, to live in the victory that Jesus bought for us and paid for on the cross of Calvary. We thank you and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Time will not permit us to recap quite so much that we have talked about. But if there's anything I need you to put at the back of your mind, is the fact that in this kingdom, we fight by standing. Let me say that in another way. Stand is how we fight. In this kingdom, stand is how we fight. So I told you that to take a stand is to take a position on a matter and to back up your position with consistent confession and corresponding action. Now, this is very important. If you forget everything I've shared with you in the past 3 weeks, please remember this. We don't fight in any other way. We fight by what? By standing. We fight by taking a stand. And I said to you, to take a stand is to take a position on a matter. So concerning that issue or that situation, you say to yourself, what do I truly believe? And then you take a stand. How do I take a stand? You take a position on the matter and you back up your position with consistent confession and corresponding action. In other words, even when you are playing, you play saying what you believe. You don't say what you don't believe. Are you getting this? You don't say what you don't believe. The fact that everybody is saying it is not enough. If you don't believe it to be the true position of God's word, you don't say it jokingly, because that is how you fight. You need to understand, you see, the devil is not fighting you in the midnight. The devil fights you in the course of your everyday life. You're eating, living, sleeping, drinking, going to work, broken relationships, doing deals. See, the devil fights you, okay, in all of those situations. So how you fight back, okay, is to take a position. So if somebody gets on my nerves, this is my response. If somebody slaps me, this is my response. If somebody cheats me, this is my response. If somebody is trying to do this to me, this is my response. I don't respond according to the way I feel. I respond based on the position I have taken. Are you getting this? Based on the position I have taken, you will never see an ambassador in a street fight. I'll say that again. You will never see an ambassador in a street fight. Not because he does not know how to fight or that he does not provoke, but he is conscious of the fact that I represent a nation and there is a position. That's number one. Number two, when the ambassador is speaking in the foreign country, he does not express his own opinion. He expresses the position of the kingdom he represents. That's what it means to take a stand. This is what I'm going to say concerning this matter. This is how I'm going to respond concerning this matter. And Paul the Apostle has been teaching us beautifully for the past few weeks. He told us to stand with truth. And we talked about that, okay? Truth guides you in your decision making. Get that. Truth guides you in your decision making. Anytime you're about to make a choice, make sure your choice is premised on the truth of God's word. And I told you there are two sources of truth, the word and the spirit. Paul the Apostle taught us to stand with righteousness. And I told you that righteousness defends you against attack on your self-image and self-esteem. Okay, how you feel about yourself and how you see yourself determines what you are willing to dare. And sometimes when you begin to dream, I want to do this, I want to achieve this, even though the word of God promises, the devil will come and tell you, people like you. It's at that point that you do what? That you put on the body armor of God's righteousness. We talked about that. And I told you to stand with peace. Okay, Paul the Apostle taught us and continues to teach us to stand with peace. Now, peace keeps you calm in the storm. So you know the right choice to make. Hallelujah. Please, you need to understand what the devil does against you is not the attack. It is what the devil makes you do. Are you getting this? See, when the devil approached Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, turn stones to bread. That was just the provocation. The real attack was for Jesus to what? To abuse his power. If Jesus had turned stone to bread, that is the attack. I'm not sure you got this. When the devil spoke to Eve, as God really said, all of that conversation, nothing happened. It was when she took the fruit and ate it that something happened. I'm not sure you got that. What the devil does to you does not impact you like the things that you do. So it does not matter what is going on in your life. All you need to do is what? Choose your response. Hallelujah. What peace does is that peace helps you to have your presence of mind to choose your response. I was driving to work, I think that was on Friday. And it's amazing. You would think that it's hungry people that riot. You would think it's impoverished people that fight. And I was driving in this beautiful estate, and I saw a guy parked his car. He blocked the other car. Beautiful cars. Beautiful cars. And the two of them got down, and they were fighting physically on the street. Now, there was no traffic. Now, you would think road rage will happen in traffic. See, the road was so wide, they didn't hit each other, they did not bash each other. As a matter of fact, I don't know what caused the fight, I did not stay to find out. Do you understand? Especially in this time, when you see two full-grown adults in broad daylight, on a third road, the road is very wide, and they start fighting. They've had breakfast. They are not my problem, they've had breakfast. But no, you think about it. It was not like there's traffic, nobody hit anybody. I was just wondering, did one person say to the other? Oh, but mind you, I've been there. Sometimes those bike riders, okay, sometimes they can really get on your nerves. They are blocking the road. They are the ones being rough. You are trying to maintain your sanity. And then when they eventually pass you, they look at you and they do like this. What do you do after that? You reply. And you will say, he provoked me. Sometimes there's traffic and they're trying to wiggle their way. This happens to me a lot. They're trying to wiggle their way and then just a little bit of their bike will scratch your car. And when you're trying to make noise, then they will abuse you. Some of you, before you get down from the belt and remove the car. See, if they catch you fighting, and some of you have fought before. When they catch you fighting, let's not even talk about Twitter. Let's not talk about Twitter. And you see, a lot of times it's about response. Let me give an example. You know, I just woke up first thing this morning and I checked, you know, my Facebook account. I conceived a message from God. I preached the message and then I put the clip there. One guy now came to comment that I should follow the Bible, insinuating that what I was saying was not the Bible. And I didn't say anything. No, that was yesterday. Then when I woke up this morning, I now noticed another person, total stranger, had replied him. So the two of them now started fighting on my wall. I just want to be a blessing. Not like I created a ring for you to come and fight. So somebody asked me, so Pastor, what did you do? I chose my response. There's something called the delete button. Both the aggressor and the aggressee, I deleted them at the same time. It's as simple as that. I don't respond. Listen, when I put a message out there and somebody says I am wrong, I don't reply. You are right. Because you see, what works for you is not what is right. It is what you believe. So it's not my duty to convince you. I'm just going to put out the truth. The moment you say, no, I disagree with you, I delete your comment. You are not my audience. The people have been sent to, they so desperately need the word that when they see it coming, they receive it of me. They are not, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you can argue with the principle, you don't need it. But Pastor, what if you engage them? Hey, listen, nobody lands in a debate. Nobody lands. That's what I found out. I stand to be corrected. But nobody lands in a debate. Nobody lands in a debate. Because what we do in a debate, okay, lawyers know that all the time. The lawyer left his house to come and stand his ground. So when you are arguing, it's not listening. Some of you now take your revelation of 20 years, the things God is using to prosper you, you are now throwing it on social media to fight a person that is going nowhere. I like the way somebody puts it. Don't take constructive criticism from anybody who has not constructed anything. If all a person has is opinion, I don't want to listen to you. See, I've got to see what you have built with the principles you are espousing before I say what you are saying is what is right. In other words, the people I learn from, I don't argue with. Are you getting this? So I don't argue with anybody. Listen, this is what peace will do to you. Somebody's wondering, oh, he lost his train of thought. No, I did not. This is what peace will do to you. It makes you so calm that you choose your response. Some of these guys that when they see you in real life, they cannot even greet you. You know, like John the Baptist and Jesus. When John the Baptist says, the lace of his shoes, I'm unworthy. You understand what I'm saying? These people can't talk you to your face, but they can hide behind a cheap phone and abuse your grandparents. If you are not at peace, before you know it, you will descend to their level. The Bible says you should not answer a fool according to his folly. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when I read scripture at times, I'm surprised when the Bible talks about the right people, be careful of relating with the wrong people. And I used to argue that, look, why shouldn't the bad person be careful? But what I found out a lot of times is you have to stoop low to interface with the negative. Did you get that? To interface, because evil is below you. So the reason why evil will always corrupt good is because good has to step down for there to be a relationship. When a good girl decides to marry a bad boy, the reason why it's a Christianity, because I know a lot of sisters wonder, what do you mean? I can marry him. I will pray for him. No, for you to marry him, you will have to stoop low. You will have to step down. I'm not sure you got that. You have to step down. If you are used to praying all the time, now you are married to somebody whose prayer is not important to him, you will notice for you to be his wife, you will pray less. And after some time, you lose your fire. Are you getting this? If I'm going to fight an area boy, I have to lose decorum. Can you see what I'm saying now? I mean, I can't fight an area boy like this. So I'm going to have to take out my jacket, take off my shirt, and look like him. And then you who used to respect me will not recognize me. Because I've had to come down to fight. I'm not sure you got that. But peace will help you do what? Peace will help you choose your response. Now let's run because of time this morning. Number four, he says to stand with faith. Stand with faith. In other words, take a position based on your faith. Okay? Faith defends you against the fiery darts of the enemy. Now watch this. Faith defends you against the fiery darts, doubts of the enemy. The fiery darts of the enemy are doubts. The fiery darts of the enemy are doubts. So when the devil does not want you to take a stand in faith, when the devil wants to rob you of what belongs to you in God, he fires doubts in your what? In your direction. He said to Eve, as God really said, that's doubt. Are you sure God said, that's doubt. And that's what the devil does. Now let me say this to you. Over 70% of the time, when you are under attack, it will seem like you are the one thinking. Okay? These attacks happen in your mind. You need to get this. These attacks happen in your mind. And most of the time, it's as if you are the one thinking. So you would think you are the one questioning God. No, it's the devil suggesting. He just begins to drop doubts. Begins to what? Begins to drop doubts. Okay? Drop doubts. So when you are in doubt, the devil knows when you are in doubt, you can't receive anything from God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he that comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you understand? If you must get anything from God, you must be in faith. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because whoever comes to him must believe. So the moment there is a presence of doubt, okay, you can't get anything from God. James chapter 1 and verse 5 to 6. Ask wisdom from God. If you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, said ask from God who gives to all men without finding fault. But when you ask, you must believe. Because the person that doubts is like the wave of the sea that is tossed here and there. The Bible says, such person should not expect to receive anything from God. So you see, the devil does not have to disturb the answer to your prayer. All the devil has to do is what? Introduce doubts in your heart. You won't even be able to make a demand by faith. And faith is not asking. Faith is everything you do till your result comes. Oh, did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Somebody, for example, right now did not join service this morning because the person said, in the past 2 months, I've not seen the hand of God. What is the proof that there is a God? What is the proof that God wants to bless me? I'm not doing Jare. And that's it. I've told you before now. Don't confuse your test as unfaithfulness on the part of God. When you believe God, your conviction is not potent until it is tested. So there will be seasons in your life that will look like the word is not working. It's not because this word is not working. You are under trial. So the Bible says in the parable of the sower that persecution will come because of the word. So get this. In the time when you conceive the word, there is excitement. After that excitement, there's going to be a testing. Are you getting this? There's going to be a testing. So the Bible said Jesus at the baptism of John got out of the water and then he was led into the wilderness. Watch this. After a very beautiful moment, what follows? Testing. At the baptism of John, there was a word from heaven. This is my, that's the revelation you receive. Some of us, that was how we started the year. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I've heard from God. I know what God has called me to do. He got baptism. He got the endorsement of John. And from there, he went into what? Testing. Are you getting this? And after he passed this test, what does the Bible say? And he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see, what you believed is true. But between your belief and your manifestation, there's going to be a test. It is in that time of testing that doubts will arise. So the devil said, if you are the son of God, turn stones to bread. Shebi said he's anointed you. You have power. Oh, you have turned stones to bread. And a lot of times, what the devil tries to let us do is to abuse our privilege and our position in Christ. You know, this is what I'm saying. When the focus becomes you, your mission is contaminated. Your mission, okay, has been contaminated. It's never about you. Are you getting this? It's never about you. It's never about you. You are not anointed for you. You are not engraced for you. It's for the benefit of others. The moment your relationship with God is about you, you are compromised. And that's what the devil does all the time. He always wants to make it to be about you. Yet Jesus said, whoever will come after me, what does he have to do first? Deny himself. So Paul the apostle said, I die daily. Are we getting this? I die daily. But the devil wants to resurrect I. Say, look at you. Listen, this is what I'm saying. I cannot measure the goodness of God from the current events of my life. For me to get a total picture of the goodness of God, it has to be past, present, future. If you don't want your future to be compromised, you've got to keep a memory of what God has done in the past. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You may be in a tough place right now, but has God been good? Did he bring you out? Did he deliver you? Did he come through for you? You've got to keep a memory of your testimonies. Because the time is going to come that it will look like you are in the valley of the shadow of death and God is not with you. But he said, look, I am with you. But in the valley of the shadow of death, he is silent. You are the one that has to do the talking. I'm not sure you got that. He leads me beside the path of still waters. He leads me to find green pastures. He has been talking. He has been leading. But when I get to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm under trial. It's now time for me to what? It's now time for me to say. Hallelujah. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Okay? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In the time of your test is the time where you have to say. What do you truly believe? Is your belief, is your faith a function of experience or if your faith is fixed? Listen to me, authentic faith is fixed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, look, the God we serve is able to deliver us and he will. But if he does not, king, we don't bow. Our faith in him is not a function of what's happening right now. And one of the things that helps you to believe now is you've got to keep a memory. So in the days of the children of Israel, he would tell them to build a memorial. Are you getting this? When they walk through the Jordan, that parted, he said, take stones from the Jordan, build a tabernacle, I mean, build an altar. When your children ask in the future, where did these stones come from? You can tell them the story. Listen, because if he did it before, he will do it again. But right now that we are going through, we've got to stand by faith. Hallelujah. This is important. Faith is the conclusion we draw from consistent meditation of the word. Okay? The key is to have your shield in place. It's called a shield of faith. You don't look for shield when the fight has started. Somebody get this. It's a shield of faith. So your faith must be in place before the attack. Do you understand? The mistake some people make is they're under attack already. Then they now carry Bible. They are now looking for scripture. They are now reciting scripture. Contend with those that contend with me. No, that's not the way it works. You see, what comes out of you when you are under attack is what has been there before the attack came. So you've got to invest in the word of God. Listen to me. Every time you sense peace and all is well, that is the time to prepare for battle. There's food on your table. You've got your health. There's a shelter over your head. You've got to invest time in fellowship with God. You've got to invest time in the meditation of the word of God. Your faith has to be in place before the attack comes. Attacks don't leave you the time to prepare. I'm telling you the truth. You see, there's no parent that just goes out from, and you know, as I'm going back today, my child will be sick. No. You just get home and they, oh, this is wrong with the child. See, what comes out of you then is a function of what you have been putting in place. The most peaceful nations have the most investments in weapons. Did you get that? Your investment in security is what keeps you safe. Sometimes when the devil just knows what you have in your arsenal, they won't try you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you've got to fortify yourself. So your shield of faith, you don't look for it when the attack comes. That's why the Bible says, put on all the armor of God before the day of evil. So the Bible says, woe to them who are complacent in Zion. Some people are always looking for, hey, were you like, the way I was in secondary school? I don't know about you. You see, when I was in primary school, I didn't like the fact that our teacher was always in class. I don't know if they still do it this way. I mean, that way now, there's what they call a class teacher. Okay, in primary school, and they always sit in class. They don't allow us to play. Even when we are not doing anything, they say, keep quiet. Fem. Did they say fem in your school? They say fem. Then they would tell somebody to be writing the name of noise makers. Then my brother got into secondary school, and he came with timetable. Oh boy. I said, what is this? He said, timetable. And I was looking at his timetable, and then I made a discovery. I saw something called free period. So I asked him, I said, what is free period? He said, we do what we like. He said, and by the way, our class teacher does not sit in the class. All the teachers are in the classroom. We are always in the class by ourselves. I said, eh? Then in free period, you are free to do what you like. He said, yes. Oh boy, I started dreaming of secondary school. I was looking forward to free period. Amen. When I got there, I found out, yes. In fact, at times we used to have double free period. How many people remember? Sometimes you have double free period. But I found out that the students that excelled in class were those who faced their studies during free period. Oh, I'm not sure you got that. So at the end of the day, if you really are going to succeed, the period is not free for relaxation. It is free for you to do what you want to do to fortify yourself. Those who came first, they will be writing notes. They will go to the library. Okay? They will go and ask teacher something in free period. We are playing kashi. At the end of the term, you see results. Are we getting this? It's the same thing. They are Christians. They are always looking for free period. That time, it looks like the devil is there. When you feel like the devil is not on my case, I'm not under attack, nothing is going wrong. That is the time to fortify yourself. When you have money, you are not, you know, you are not looking to God. You are not praying, give us this day our daily bread. If you understand what I'm saying in finance, you would understand it spiritually. The time when you have money is when you prepare for scarcity. Because it is going to come. The challenge with so many people is they look at other people and they say, he has, I don't. No, you had at the same time. He conserved, you did not. So the Bible says that there is oil, okay, in the storehouse of the diligent. But the fool consumes everything. The reason why some people have when every other person does not have is because they conserved. You wake up in the morning, there's no enemy on your case. It looks like all is well. That is the time to gather scripture. That is the time to meditate. That is the time to pray. Because when the day of evil comes, sometimes you don't have the presence of mind. I'm telling you the truth. You have a loved one in the hospital. They've given the person a few days to live. That's not when you don't hope. Sometimes scripture will fly away. The ones that flow are the ones that have been a part of you. Are you here? The shield of faith. Let's move on this morning. The apostle says we should stand with salvation. In other words, be conscious of your salvation. What do I mean by that? A consciousness of your salvation defends you against guilt and the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. You know, this one sounds similar to the breastplate of righteousness, but they are different. Breastplate of righteousness defends you against an attack on your self-image, your self-esteem. Okay? Helmet of salvation deals with guilt. Guilt. The devil will bring your past to attack you in the present. And I'm not sure there's nobody who was not guilty in the past. Hallelujah. But when you are mindful of your salvation, you remember God did not pardon me. I was justified. Yes, I did it, but somebody paid for it. Hallelujah. You know, see, I tell people this all the time, that if you are mindful of your salvation, you will never complain against God. If it's always in your consciousness, the magnitude of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, you will never complain about anything. Hallelujah. He that did not spare his one and only son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he not, along with him, give us all things? When he's giving me his most prized possession, there is nothing else he cannot give me. So when the devil comes and says, oh, you did this, you are not the kind of person, you are not worthy. I say, you don't get it. There's therefore now no condemnation. I'm in Christ Jesus. My salvation is not something that happened once. It's perpetual. It covers my past to my eternity future. And when we look into the future, I know a lot of people are afraid of death. Because regardless of the state of their life right now, they are afraid of what happens in their future. But some of us know because he lives, I can face tomorrow. My salvation is not just about today. My salvation is about what? That is your helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. By the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary, we have been declared not guilty of sin. And our future is guaranteed. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's my guarantee of a better tomorrow. That's a guarantee of my eternity. That if rapture happens right now, or if I close my eyes in death, my eternity with God is guaranteed. Whoever believes shall not perish. We may have to go back to the shield of faith and ask you, do you truly believe? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you need to understand, I've taught you this last week, thoughts are things. The thoughts of God are things. The word of God is a product of what? The thoughts of God. When you take scripture, you've got to believe scripture. Scripture has to be tangible to you like anything you can touch. When you believe God's word, that way you are secure. Hallelujah. Let's round it up this morning. Finally, this morning, the apostle is telling us to stand with the word of God. Stand with the word of God, because the word is the sword. The word is the sword. And you would notice that of all the weapons he's been talking to us about, the word is both a defensive and offensive weapon. Every other one is a defensive weapon. But the word of God is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. So along with the shield of faith, you can also defend yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Are you getting this? What is faith? Faith is an unflinching trust in God. I confess it, okay? I confess it. I act according to it. But much more than that, I can take the word of God and put it on my lips and begin to speak it boldly. Listen to this. When the devil attacks you with doubt, defend yourself by declaring God's word boldly, like Jesus did when he was tempted. So you begin to declare, it is written. This dimension of that we're talking about now, you begin to speak the word of God boldly. Hallelujah. I think that's the popular one people, you know, get to do in the place of prayer. This is the one you do in the place of prayer. You begin to speak the word of God. In other words, you are trying to achieve something. The devil is fighting you with doubt. Don't just be thinking positively in your mind. Put the word of God on your lips. Okay? And begin to declare the word of God boldly. Your bold declaration protects you and then binds the devil. This is important. Your bold declaration of the word of God, it protects you. Much more than that, it binds the devil. Okay? So what you do by declaring God's word is that you restrict the devil's movement. Let me explain it to you this way. You know when you, if you watch movies a lot, you understand what I'm saying? In a gunfight, you really don't, you just don't shoot to kill. Sometimes you shoot to contain. So when you have ammunition and you have weapons and you have guys on your side, you can, by consistent shooting, keep the enemy backed in a corner. So you see, because the devil is a spirit. Spirits don't die. Are you getting this? But by consistent declaration of the word of God, you keep the enemy at bay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for example, if you are licensed to carry a gun, okay, and somebody's trying to intrude into your house, there's something called a warning shot. Okay? In the rules of engagement, you just don't shoot the person. Somebody's trying to break into your house, the first thing you do is what? You shoot a warning shot. You are just trying to let the person understand. There's power here. This thing you heard, you will feel. So when the person hear, gone, the person runs away. That tells you the kind of enemy you are dealing with. By warning the enemy, you have kept the enemy at bay. But there are times when the devil, or this enemy, comes also with firepower. But if you have superior power, firepower, which you have, by your consistent declaration, you mark your life off limits. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the devil knows if I come into that territory, I'll get hit. And that's what we do in confessing the word of God. I'm not saying speaking nice things. You will take the very word of God and you will put the word of God on your lips and you'll begin to declare it boldly. Declare it boldly. Declare it boldly. Hallelujah. That is when the word becomes your sword. When the word of God becomes your consistent confession. Amen. And so these are not things you just observe in your mind. These are things you have to do. But in conclusion this morning, I want us to look at verse 18. New International Version of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now listen to this. This is very important. Prayer is the catalyst for all our spiritual weapons. Now this is very important. Prayer is the catalyst for all our spiritual weapons. So he says to us, put on the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the body armor of righteousness, put on peace. He tells us all the weapons to put on, and then in verse 18 says, and pray consistently. Okay? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. And I told you prayer is a catalyst. When you want the weapons to come alive, you make a habit of prayer. Let me say it in another way. The place of prayer is the place of spiritual fitness. It is the gym of the spirit. Consistency in prayer builds up your spiritual capacity, your ability to wield these weapons. Are we getting this? So the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, some of us, we watch movies and we see sword fights. What some people don't realize is some of those things, you see them just wield anyhow. You can't lift. It has a sharp edge, but much more than that, it is heavy. Are you getting this? So you need first to be strong to be able to wield the weapon. And what consistency in prayer does is, consistency in prayer, number one, makes you fit to wield these weapons. That's number one. And then number two, consistency in prayer, okay, activates these weapons in your life. You cannot make a continuous habit of prayer and peace will elude you. Because I told you last week, peace is found in the place of prayer. Okay? Peace is found. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Peace is found in the place of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God. So you've got to know how peace will come. It is after I've presented my heart desire to God by faith, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. So if you don't make a habit of prayer, you are always going to be afraid. Are you getting this right now? If you don't make a habit of prayer, you are always going to be afraid. There is nothing that gives us an opportunity to declare God's word like consistent prayer. Are you getting this? You know what I was going to do before was to allow this series to lead us into a series on prayer. And it will. But we're going to do it in another way. Now, instead of me to teach you how to pray, this is what I found out. You don't learn to pray by hearing teaching on prayer. You learn how to pray by praying. Let me say that again. You don't learn how to pray by hearing teaching on prayer. Teaching is fantastic. I teach. But I found out when it comes to mastering prayer, you master prayer by praying. So I'll round up this message with an invitation that you will join us tomorrow morning if you have not been joining us. And if you have been playing truancy, what you have been doing is you have been rendering yourself weak as far as this battle is concerned. Join us in prayer tomorrow morning, 5:30 a.m. West African time, 8:30 p.m. We pray 30 minutes in each session, morning and evening. If you don't have the capacity for both, choose one. Okay, 5:30 a.m. Oh, I like to pray by myself. It's very good. Wake up at 4 and pray by yourself from 4 and join us by 5:30. Because corporate prayer is stronger than personal prayer. Are you getting this? Oh, I'm a baby Christian. I don't pray for long. Yeah, so just wake up at 5:25 and join us for prayer at 5:30. There's just something about when we do it together. But what I'm going to do from tomorrow morning is, in every session, I'm going to say something about prayer every day from tomorrow morning. So instead of just a teaching series on prayer, it's going to be us praying together, and then I'm going to be drawing nuggets about prayer every day, every day, every day, perhaps for the next 1 month. At the end of the prayer session, I'm just going to drop something about prayer. I'm just going to share something about prayer. You know, but much more than sharing it, you see, your understanding is quickened because what I'm sharing, perhaps you just practiced. Hallelujah. So don't miss it for anything. 5:30 a.m., 8:30 p.m. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says we should do what? Pray without ceasing. No, sorry, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. A translation says, never stop praying. Pray endlessly. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you for the word we've heard. We thank you, Father, because beyond hearing, we receive grace to live out what we have heard this morning in the name of Jesus. By reason of this message, we banish weakness. We declare, Father, Lord, we come out of guilt. We come out of defeat. And Father, we begin to live a perpetual life of victory in the name of Jesus. We enter the fullness of the victory that Jesus paid for us to have in Jesus' name. And Father, we have testimonies upon testimonies to share concerning this victory. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.